This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So over the last hour, the new Malaysian cabinet has been sworn in at the Istana. I think they're just wrapping up as we speak. Mm-hmm. I've been watching a little bit on the television, Caroline. I mean, we're going to talk about Mazli Malik in a second, but I have to say, we've seen so many of these happen, but this is actually history in the making, right? It is the first Pakatan Harapan cabinet. Just watching, say, Mat Sabu, Lim Guan Eng and Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin stand next to each other in a row being sworn in as cabinet ministers, one former DPM, two former ISA detainees. It's a weird sight. It's surreal.
It is absolutely surreal. And I don't remember us ever expressing this much interest in a cabinet announcement, you know, for the longest time. And it's an interesting balance. I think there are all sorts of considerations that have to go, or rather had to go into this cabinet. You know, party representation was a huge thing. You know, particularly delicate balance, I think, with the Rafizi fiasco. You know, a lot of criticism from the public. Also qualifications, whether or not, you know, everyone is suitable for the role. Women representation is also something that came through rather strongly, right?
Still a bit low.
Yeah.
This isn't the full cabinet, mind you.
Yeah.
But at the moment, there are three women in the cabinet, and it doesn't meet the 30% pledge that Pakatan Harapan had put forward.
So it's what, 3 for 14? 3 out of 14?
It's about 20-something percent. Mm. Yes.
So,
not great.
But the most controversial appointment by far has been Mazli Malik's appointment as the education minister.
Correct. And I don't know if this is something that is genuinely controversial or if it's just been a lot of noise on the internet, right, Caroline? I mean, so for those of you who may have missed it, you know, there's been a lot of noise about Mazli Malik because of initially there was a purported report that he had supported the Muslim preacher Zakir Naik.
Mm-hmm.
He's of course come out and said, and it's true, there are videos of him. He never actually supported it. He said he's for freedom of speech and that everyone has a right to voice out their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
The same way he says Christians and Buddhists can do the same thing.
Yeah, and that's sort of as far as he actually went.
Exactly.
So it's not exactly supporting him, rather supporting what he's
what he
stands for. I was just going to say
exactly.
What he stands for, which isn't exactly it as well. What has come through very clearly when he was interviewed, he aims to improve the education system, and he, I think there was a particular focus on including the burden of teachers in the clerical work, right?
Correct. Yeah, you know, that was one of the features. He also said he wanted to make learning more fun as well. He wanted to reduce the dependencies on examinations.
That's right. So, I mean, he's very, very young. He's 44 years old, I believe.
Born in 1974.
Yep, that's right. Born in JB. He's the MP of Simpang Renggam.
Correct.
He's of Bersatu. I think he's fluent in Malay, English.
We've heard him speak smatterings of Tamil and Mandarin as well.
Apparently French, German, Hokkien as well.
He is a very scholarly individual, right? Mm. Now, I for one have not been a fan of the rhetoric that's been going around, I guess, on social media in particular, and some of the opinions that have been raised because of his Islamic credentials, right? People were quite concerned about putting someone with these kinds of Islamic credentials in the education ministry. While I understand their concerns, given the Islamization of our education system over the years, I don't feel it's fair to judge an individual based on his beliefs and how he's going to run the ministry. I think he's smart enough to make that distinction.
Absolutely. Do you want to take a look at the women who have been selected to get into cabinet?
Yes, of course. I mean, Dr. Wan Aziza, of course, is the Deputy Prime Minister. She is also the Women's Affairs Minister. Mm-hmm. She's our first female Deputy Prime Minister, which is very, very exciting. And so, I mean, that's also, I mean, this cabinet is full of history-making moments, right? Mm. Now, she is a reluctant politician. She, of course, joined politics. She sits herself. Yeah. She joined politics after the jailing of her husband, Anwar Ibrahim. And she has stood for elections. You know, she won the Permatang Power seat in 2008. Mm-hmm. She won the Pandan seat, of course, against four other opponents with a 75.47% majority, which is incredible.
It is. So another woman on the list, Datuk Zuraida Kamaruddin, housing and local government, 60, born and raised in Singapore. I think she has served as a marketing strategist over in an advertising company in Japan. Also, AIA, Saatchi & Saatchi Advertising, right?
Yes, that's right. The third woman on the cabinet is Rina Harun. She's the MP for TT Wangsa. She's also the head of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia's women's wing. Yep. I heard her speak at a ceramah in Titi Wangsa during the campaign period, and she was incredibly impressive. She was born and raised in Titi Wangsa, a child of Titi Wangsa. She went to school there. Her parents used to run a restaurant there. And she's an incredibly impressive individual. And it's nice that you get such young people into the cabinet as well.
For sure. So she was working in finance for 8 years until she decided to focus on politics. She's a deputy women's chief of Pakatan, formerly Putri UMNO executive councillor.
Right. Yes, of course. After this, like I said, we're going to be speaking to Zahrom Nain, who's the chairperson of GERAK, which is the Malaysian academic movement, about his thoughts on Mazli Malik's appointment as the Minister of Education. That's coming your way after John Mayer, Waiting on the World to Change. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Caroline and Uma with you, 6:16 in the evening. We've been talking about the new cabinet lineup. Now, that sparked quite a lot of interest, especially the appointment of Mazli Malik as Education Minister. Now, we have on the line Professor Zahrom Nain, chairperson of GERAK, that's the Malaysian Academic Movement. Prof. Rom, thank you so much for joining us. What do you think of the controversy over Mazli Malik? Were you surprised by this response?
Well, yes, I was surprised because personally, I don't know him very well, but I've heard him speak. I've communicated with him at some point. I've always seen him as a progressive sort of thinker. And so for that reason alone, being a progressive thinker, I thought, you know, it'd be good for the ministry. Of course, the first choice the other time was Dr. Mahathir, right? Now, given that the Pakatan Manifesto doesn't allow him to take on two positions, subsequently, well, he stepped down, and that was good on his part. But you know, you can't get someone stronger than Dr. Mahathir, I guess, in that ministry. So when Mazli was picked, we thought we should give him a chance, primarily because he's an academic. Yeah, he knows what's happening in academia. How much he knows about the whole spectrum of education from the kindergarten right up to university, well, that's something that he probably will have to pick up as he goes along. Yeah. So subsequently, when it was revealed, as it were, that he's a Salafi, people saw that as a dirty word, I guess. I personally don't think it is. Yeah, I mean, whatever faith one holds, it to me, it's a private thing. Yeah, I mean, but people are fearful of that. I guess it just blew up.
Right. So Mazli himself has said it in an interview, right, that people shouldn't judge others based on religiosity. Is that the word?
Yeah.
I've got it right. And that they should look at one's achievement and contribution to society instead. But it seems that, people just really took issue with his Salafist leanings.
Well, it's not so, well, I don't think many really know what Salafism is like, yeah, in detail. That aside, I think the most controversial part of it all was because of his comments on Zakir Naik. Yeah, a lot of people think that he's supportive of Zakir Naik, but others have come up and said that it's not being supportive of, and I think he has said as well, it's being supportive of his right to freedom of speech. Yeah, so I think that's fair enough. Yeah, if you're going to talk about a more freer society, then subsequently I feel you have to allow that kind of freedom. You know, it's a kind of double edge. Yeah, you have freedom, how do you manage that freedom then? Yeah, is it that it's just your freedom and that other people are not to speak about their thoughts just because they're quite different from yours? You know, yes, if it's hateful, yes, I think there is a necessity to condemn that. Yeah. But that's the price you pay for a more freer society, that, you know, you will not only get liberated voices, as it were, you will not only get, you know, progressive voices, but you also get reactionary, conservative, downright racist voices. Yeah. So, you know, how do you control all that? Yeah, I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Hmm.
So let's take a look at the job at hand. What issues do you think should be prioritized by this new education ministry?
Well, we're coming out with a, Gerard is coming out with a statement outlining the various concerns and the various areas that need to be looked at, yeah? But top of which is, of course, academic freedom, yeah? Especially at higher degrees, because Gerard is concerned with universities. There is a need to look at academic freedom. There is a need to look at the University and University Colleges Act, yeah? And various other sort of laws governing universities, yeah? Which in many ways has made the situation very bad as far as universities and higher education is concerned. And there's been too much politicization of higher education, and that needs to be addressed very, very quickly. Yeah, the appointments of top university officials, for example, yeah, and selection of students as well need to be addressed. Yeah, the quota system, for example, based on ethnicity, really needs to be overhauled in many ways. Yeah, if you're talking about a Malaysia that is blind to color, for example, right? And as far as the schools are concerned, you know, many people are already talking about having a deeper look at the moral course, the Islamic studies course, that for many seem to segregate school children rather than unify them, unite them, yeah? So Dr. Mazli has got a huge task ahead of him, and I think he will need to have various committees, various people to be able to conduct those kind of major changes in our education system. One, to make it more inclusive. Two, to make it more of higher quality. And the removal of strategies and policies that effectively discriminate against people in terms of gender, in terms of class, in terms of ethnicity, and so on and so forth.
Right. So, Prof, with what you said, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what the new Ministry of Education has to offer then.
Yeah, I think the good thing about what's happened after May the 9th is that Malaysians have become more vigilant, and I think we need to remain vigilant, yeah? And I think we need to voice out. And fine, it's nice, it's good to voice out so that, you know, the people who are supposedly our servants, as it were, public servants, will listen to us, yeah? And I think that's a healthy thing that has happened after May the 9th, yeah? Malaysians have begun to realize that we have the power within us to change things, yeah? And it's no longer a case of us having to listen to the powers that be, as it were, the politicians, yeah? We brought the politicians in, and I think the politicians have got to be answerable to us.
Thank you, Prof, for your views. That was Professor Zahrom Naim, chairperson of GERAK, the Malaysian Academic Movement, with his thoughts on the controversy surrounding the new Education Minister, Mazli Malik. We've got a talkback all the time on the evening edition. You can call us on 03-7710-9000 to answer this question.
Yeah, what do you think about the whole debate around Mazli Malik? Do you think he's suitable, unsuitable? Do you think he can or should be given a chance to hold the portfolio without judgment? Give us a call on 03-7710-9000.
In the meantime, here are Crowded House with Something So Strong on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.